I will be reading scripture from Romans 12, 9 through 18. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of lower position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone.
Well, good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. It is good to be with you this morning and see a few familiar faces, and particularly Jerry and Nancy. They were down at our office in Reedley, California. How many have heard of Reedley, California? That's pretty impressive. More than most, I think. But it was great to have them with us last year. And just kind of FYI, if any of you want to come and experience MCC West Coast World, we'd love to have you anytime down there in California. The scripture that was, well, I should just say as well, I want to say thank you for what you do to help make MCC possible. People often say, oh, you're here to represent MCC. And I always feel like MCC is you. It's the heart of the supporters. It's the heart of our workers. And I always feel when people say thanks to me for what MCC is doing, I feel like, well, it's actually all the people who work to make it possible, who donate, who quilt, who help with sales. They're the ones who should be thanked. So on behalf of all the thanks that I've heard, I want to say thanks to you for what you make possible through the work of MCC. The scripture that was read this morning from Romans chapter 12, it's our theme verses for this year at MCC. I don't know if you're aware of it, but every year MCC selects some theme verses for that year, and we ask our staff and workers all around the world to reflect upon those scriptures. And when I first saw this passage for this year, I have to admit, I thought that's kind of a interesting passage to choose. When I first read it, it felt like a list of commands or things that you should do. But then the more I reflected on it, I thought, you know, maybe another way to view this is as an image, as a vision of what the world could be. In the last year, I have heard more people than at any time in my life say, you know, it's depressing to watch the news. I've just quit watching the news, and I've heard people who fall on the left or the right of the political spectrum say that. I've heard that more often than any time in my life. It's depressing to watch the news. But think about these verses that we read. If people were living as the writer describes it, the news wouldn't be so depressing to watch, would it? If people were genuinely hating evil but holding fast to what is good, if people were showing mutual affection, outdoing each other and showing honor, if people were blessing those who persecute them, if people were rejoicing with those who rejoice, weeping with those who weep, living in harmony with one another, imagine what this world would be like. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create a world that follows in this vision, that reflects the kingdom of Jesus. I want you to think this morning of MCC's work, of all of our work as followers of Jesus, similar to the work of lighting a candle. It's interesting that candles are used, well, candles just sort of change things, don't they? So you might be something as simple as you light a candle in your kitchen because the fish you cooked kind of left an odor that you did. And the candle changes the smell of things. Candles stand as witnesses to something beyond just the immediate presence. They're at shrines which reflect perhaps some sort of connection to faith, to a deity. It might be a memorial to someone who has passed on. Candles are also used at times of celebration. You have to have candles at a birthday party, right? It's just not right without it. So candles, I think, reflect the sense that both times of celebration and times of something serious or somber and weeping. And these verses from Romans about how we live this vision of Christ, and in particular the phrase that we've been asking MCC to focus on this year, is the phrase where it says, we are to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So I'm going to share with you a number of ways, a number of stories of how in the midst of what is sometimes a dark and depressing world, MCC is seeking to light a candle, to light a witness that rejoices with those who rejoice and weeps with those who weep. Go with me first to a place in Santa Cruz, Bolivia. Mennonite church there in Santa Cruz runs a day care called Samuelito Guardería. Started about 10 years ago by the Mennonite church there. 9 children came to this daycare from age 6 months up to kindergarten. Today there's over 90 children there. And it's at a place, Bolivia is a fascinating country. The stereotype of Latin America is it's dangerous to walk on the streets at night. And that's often true. Not true in Bolivia. It's actually quite safe. But in their Latin American world, they actually have a higher than average rate of domestic violence. And for people who have been displaced, maybe they were in rural areas and they had to, for whatever reason, migrate into the cities, that amount of abuse is even higher. And this daycare is located in that context. These children face higher than normal risk of facing abuse at some point in their life. Broken family, and all sorts of reasons. Some of the funding for this daycare comes from MCC. Some comes from the government. We were sitting there in the director's office. And she was talking about what they do. She was talking about how the funding can sometimes be sporadic, and so sometimes teachers can go for a couple of months without getting paid. And it was kind of depressing, honestly. You could feel the weeping part. Tough situation. I asked her, I said, so in the midst of what seems to be a pretty discouraging context sometimes, what keeps you going? What gives you hope? And instantly, tears started to come down the face of this director. And she said, what gives me hope is when I see one child, one family that we change, and they begin to dream again. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Go with me to Agua Prieta, Mexico. Right on the border between Mexico and Douglas, Arizona, there is Agua Prieta. And there is a MCC partner there called Cafe Justo. Cafe Justo stands for just coffee. That's what it means in Spanish. Quick little extra thing I'll throw in for no charge. When they first started taking their coffee that they roast there in Agua Prieta, bringing it across the border to ship to people in the U.S., the border agent said, do you have anything to declare? If you've ever crossed the border, they ask you that. You know what they said? Just coffee. And the agent said, go right on through. No duty was paid. And after about 6 months, the agents caught on that, wait a second, there's something going on here. And so now they have to pay the duty. But this is a cooperative of farmers down in Chiapas in southern Mexico. an area rocked by violence, an area that struggles for these small farmers to keep afloat, because in the late 80s, coffee was selling for about $100, and I can't remember if it was a pound or a kilogram, but $100 per unit, whatever the unit was. And then the price just collapsed down into the $30 range, and it just became unsustainable. The price has recovered some, but not as much as it had been even back in the 80s. And so farmers are forced off their land. Children are migrating away. And this cooperative came together to say, can we sell this coffee and pay these farmers a wage that's sustainable for them to stay on their land? And so this coffee is grown in southern Mexico. It is shipped up to Agua Prieta, and there it is roasted and shipped all across the U.S. to people who buy the coffee. If you want to buy some, justcoffee.org, you can check it out. But here's the cool story. As I stood there and watched the man roasting the coffee, he started talking about farmers in Chiapas who had no hope, whose children had moved away, who they were afraid they would have to move away. They said, now because of Cafe Justo, we can stay on our land, and our children are even considering coming back because of this just economic system. We rejoice with those who rejoice when our work can light a candle against unjust systems that make a difference. Go with me to a place that's often in the news, the West Bank, Palestine. There's a Christian Palestinian family there that has owned a farm, goes back in their family to 1924. They've farmed this land ever since. In 2002, the Israeli army came through and bulldozed out most of the trees on their land, but they replanted. 2014, the same thing happened. The Israeli army came through, uprooted and destroyed all of their trees. But they again chose to replant rather than seek violence or revenge. They said, we must not hate because Christ calls us to reconciliation and to peace. And Amal, the owner, says this, my father called me Amal on purpose to keep hope alive, because he always says, since he was a young boy, there's always conflict here in Palestine and Israel, and he always believed that we should never give up hope. We should always keep hope alive. Friends, that's lighting a candle. In the midst of darkness, we're seeking to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Go with me to my office in Reedley, California. It's a bit different than here, but there are some similarities. A lot of Hispanic farm laborers in our community. Estimates in Central California there say, the low estimates say 50%, the high estimates say 80% of the ones who labor in the fields would be considered undocumented according to the U.S. legal system. There are what's called notarios who seek to promise these hardworking people guaranteed legal status, whether they have a path or not. And they charge them very high wages and take advantage of, or very, very high fees and take advantage of them. Part of our work there in the West Coast region is to offer legal services to those who have a path to change their status. We also are advocating in Washington for more just laws, but that's a separate piece of what we're doing right now. And so we offer these services to people at a very, very reasonable rate to help them change their status when they're able to do so. And it's almost every week I see someone sitting in that office crying, either tears of sadness or tears of joy, because they've been waiting and waiting, checking that mailbox every day. Did my application for a change of status go through? Can I now drive without being afraid of being pulled over? Because then who knows, I may be yanked out of my community and my family. One day in particular, last July, I walked into the office and there was this beautiful bouquet of flowers sitting on the desk there. Last summer, last August 1st was my 25th wedding anniversary. And I remember thinking, you know, if I would buy that for my 25th, I'd be doing pretty well. It was just this gorgeous bouquet of flowers. I said, where did those come from? I said, oh, a family that we were able to help change their status brought this back as a thank you. And they didn't bring back just the bouquet of flowers. They also said, we want you to know that with your help, we were able to start a business, a used car business. And so if you come across in your work this year a local family that needs reliable transportation, we will give one car this year to a family that you deem is necessary. That's a candle shining in the darkness, rejoicing with those who rejoice, and weeping with those who weep. Go with me to Tucson, Arizona. There's a house there in Tucson called Casa Alitas. It's run by Catholic Charities, and we have a staffer that is now with MCC, a service worker, who is now working there at Casa Alitas. It's just a normal-looking house. It doesn't stand out as you drive through it in the neighborhood. But in this house is where women and children, mostly from Guatemala, from other Central American countries, who have come to the border seeking asylum because they're fleeing gang violence and that type of thing in their home countries. And they present themselves at the border and they get apprehended by Border Patrol and they get dropped off then at Casa Alitas, and we then help them get bus tickets, get a change of clothes, get some basic food, some diapers if they have children, so that they can go to friends and relatives all across the country, waiting until their case is heard in an immigration court. Right now, we're having about 25 families per week that come through there. Not long ago, there was a family that stayed there for a night or two. And after they left, our service worker discovered a note that they had left. This is what their note said. With tears, I thank you for the attention that you have given us and for how you treated us as if we were of the same blood with the same humanity as a person. Where we have been these past 16 days before arriving here, they treated us like animals. We endured fatigue, tiredness, hunger, cold, and sadness weeping under the rain. But through the love of God, we are here in this country and achieve the triumph of arriving. I thank you for the food, the water, the clothing, and the room you provided. I do not have enough words to thank you all. May the wonderful God bless you today, tomorrow, and always. Lighting a candle in the midst of a dark world. Go with me to Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Not just Port-au-Prince, but to a section of Haiti that even in a difficult, broken country, this particular section is known for its violence. There's lots of gang violence that just rocks the neighborhood. And in that context, there's an MCC partner running a soccer club. Soccer club is called Sakala. Can you say that? Sakala. Okay, you now know one phrase in Creole. You know what that means? It means this can be here. This can be here. I love that phrase. It's this phrase of hope. It's this phrase of a little bit of defiance. That in the midst of a dark place, something better can happen. And what this soccer club does is it takes children and puts them together on soccer teams. And the children are placed on teams. They intentionally bring children who come from families that are in different gangs and rival games, and they mix them together on the same team. And then these children are taught things like anger management and conflict resolution, all the sort of things that are feeding the violence in the neighborhood. They are taught a different way. And they are also taught to have friends and to love the other that is so often prevalent in their community. Also tied to the soccer club is an urban garden that has sprung up. The city came in and said, you have to get rid of this because it's here illegally. And the residents band together and said, basically, make us get rid of it. It's staying there. So in the midst of a dark place, here is this sakala. No, something different can be here. It's this vision. It's this image. It's this the reality that the brightness of a candle can transform a community and a neighborhood. All of these stories and many more are possible because there are people who believe what we read in Romans. There are people who believe that this is a way that we can live. The way of peace, the way of love, the way of Jesus is what our world needs. And you are helping to light these candles that witness to God's love and peace. You're doing it here. I heard that in your sharing as you're wrestling in different ways how you do that. It isn't like MCC is the only place where God's light needs to shine. But it is one avenue through which we seek to bring God's peace and God's love in the midst of a dark world. You help make that possible. So I want to say thank you again. I also hope the stories that have been shared spur in you a reminder. Yes, we live in a world where there's lots of darkness. And lots of that we can't control. But we can every day choose to say, I'm going to light this candle. I'm going to seize the opportunities God brings into my life to be a witness for peace, to be a witness for love, to reach out to those who may be different from me, to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I don't know about you. I don't know what you do here for Christmas Eve, but it has long been my favorite service of the year, particularly when there is a candle lighting service, if it's possible. For many years, I pastored churches, and so I had the lucky advantage of being up here when everyone else was holding their candle. And it never got old. It's fascinating. The lights would be off. You'd have one or two candles up here, and you begin to pass the light. And one person lights a candle, and the next person lights their candle, and you can just see the sanctuary being transformed as the light starts to move and spread. And then when I would simply say, would you take your candles now and raise them up a little bit? And it was like, you know the dimmer switch on a light, it was like suddenly you raised it up. Just that simple act would transform it even more. And I think that's a vision of what happens when God's people in Albany, all around the world, say, yes, I want to be that light for Jesus, and I'm going to hold it high. May it be so in our lives this week.